This is The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. New federal regulations seeking to address the safety of oil trains may be a step in the right direction in the wake of recent high-profile derailments and explosions, but local residents and lawmakers concerned about the trains rumbling in and out of Delaware City's refinery on a daily basis may not be convinced they've gone far enough. Contributor John Hurdle looked into the new rules and the reaction locally in his piece, now available at DelawarePublic.org. And he joins us right now to offer his insight. John, thanks for being with us this week on The Green.
Hi, Tom.
Well, first off, let's just talk about the new regulations themselves. What are some of the key highlights of these changes?
Well, there's a series of things here, Tom, that the U.S. Department of Transportation announced last Friday. One of the changes is to impose a national speed limit of 50 miles an hour on oil trains, and then the limit would actually be reduced to 40 in cities for trains that were not retrofitted or were not built with a series of improvements. Now, the improvements that the DOT specified included requiring the cars that carry the crude oil to have thicker shells, to install some thermal protection, and to install things called improved pressure relief valves. They're also calling on the railroads to retire an older class of rail car called DOT 111s, those are cars which have been involved in a number of high-profile accidents and explosions in the last several years, but crucially, they are not being the railroads don't actually have to retire those or retrofit them within. They don't have to do that before 3 years. The railroads are also being asked to install electronic braking systems so that individual oil cars kind of essentially have their own braking system, and this improvement is designed to prevent pileups in the event of a derailment or an accident.
As I mentioned at the top, a number of local lawmakers and some local environmental groups have been pushing on this issue over the last year or so. What are they saying about these new regulations and how effective they may or may not be?
Well, I think it's fair to say the regulations have been given a cautious welcome. I spoke with State Representative Ed Osensky, who represents a part of Newark, and he said that he's been working on the issue for a while, and he welcomes the DOT's efforts to prevent the accidents and especially to prevent the explosions in the event of any derailment. But he was a little unhappy with the amount of time it's taken for the DOT to come out with these changes, and he also noted that they don't say anything about the volatility of the crude oil that these massive trains are carrying. There's a particular grade of crude that's coming out of North Dakota's Bakken Shale, which is particularly volatile, particularly prone to explosions. He said that he would have preferred the DOT to have addressed this issue in some way.
How about residents who live along these train lines? I know you had a chance to talk to at least one of them. Is there a sense that this is alleviating their fears and concerns to any degree?
Well, I think with some reservations. I spoke with a lady who lives right near about 100 yards away from the rail lines near to the former Chrysler plant at Newark. She's been dealing with trains rumbling by her house since the mid-80s, since she's been living there. But she did say that there's been a noticeable increase in the number of oil trains that she's had to deal with at all hours of the day and night in the last few years. One of her sources of concern is that they park up in a rail yard, and they are passed at very close quarters, she says, by Amtrak trains, which are of course going down the main East Coast line, she's concerned that there might be some catastrophic explosion if there's any collision between those two.
Are there some areas that people would like to see addressed further where they feel like these regulations are lacking specifically?
Well, I think that one, I also spoke with Magritte Haddon, who is a Newark City Council person, and she said that one particular thing that she's concerned about is that in the event of any derailment or explosion, that she feels that there's an insufficient supply of firefighting foam that would be used by the fire department and other emergency responders. She feels that it's not right there in this area of the rail yard where the oil trains park up. And she feels that should be more readily available, so that there would be first responders would be in a better position to control the fire should it happen. I think that one underlying concern for lawmakers like Ms. Haddon and representatives, local representatives in cities like Newark, is the lack of control that local authorities have over these oil trains. And the simple reason for that is that the rail industry is federally regulated. And so wherever local concern is expressed about these, then local officials are essentially limited to planning for how they might respond to any train-related emergency rather than talking about the ways in which such an incident could be prevented.
I was going to say, a number of people talked at public meetings about response and what would happen if something happened. Is there a sense from those in the both lawmakers, residents, and such, that there is a comfort level with Delaware's preparedness for this type of situation?
Well, I think people are still interested. There's still an awful lot of questions out there. And I did speak with Ms. Haddon again, and she was talking about a desire to work with the railroads, and she has had some contact with the Delaware Emergency Management Agency and various first responders, but she told me that she is that she wants to see more done because of the potentially catastrophic nature of these incidents. And of course, the context for this whole discussion is the series of explosions and derailments that have been going on around the country. Most recently, that happened on Wednesday of this week, when an oil train exploded in North Dakota, forcing the evacuation of a small town there. The poster child, of course, for this for the opponents of this issue is a horrendous explosion that happened in July of 2013, when a runaway oil train exploded in a small town in Quebec, which ended up causing the deaths of 47 residents there.
All right, John Hurdle, we thank you so much for taking your time to be with us this week on The Green.
You're welcome, Tom.
And John's piece on oil trains and oil train regulations is available right now at DelawarePublic.org. Stay with us. We look at the state's new commitment to end homelessness among veterans next. But first, the news from Delaware Public Media.